Hi and welcome. My name's David Zeltner. Most of you already I have met. And for those I haven't met yet, I look forward to meeting you in the future. You can always find me on cashprofitcoaching.com.au. On today's call, I've invited a special guest, Peter Stone from AskStoney.com, who is an absolute internet marketing whiz, to talk about how you can improve your bottom line using internet marketing. I'm going to be asking loads of questions that have been sent in by all of you. So please allow me to introduce Peter Stone.
Hey, thanks, David. Thanks for inviting me on the call today.
Welcome. Welcome, Peter. So, Peter, before we get into some questions, can I ask you just quickly how you got into internet marketing and helping business owners improve their bottom line?
Yeah, sure. Look, it started back in late 1999, 2000, I was managing an online portal for a large Southeast Asian website, and so I had a team of writers and we were producing quite a lot of web content each month, and we were getting lots of visitors from especially the US, which was surprising, and it started to I guess that was the first role that started me on my journey in internet marketing, and actually it allowed me to be able to work portably. So I was at one stage living in Vail in Colorado and skiing during the day and writing and editing and managing my team at night. So I thought, wow, this is pretty good. And then my next phase in internet marketing was I started a business taking Australians and actually coaching them skiing overseas. And part of my role was to get new clients. And so I built a website and, you know, it looked good. And after a while, I realized nothing was really happening with it. And so then I learned about how to rank better in the search engines so as you can get traffic. So when someone typed in, say, ski improvement program, we ended up ranking for number one in the world for that, and suddenly I started to get a whole lot of traffic to the site, but the phone still wasn't ringing and I wasn't collecting that many email addresses. So then I discovered that they just don't have to go to the site, you actually got to engage with people and get them to actually do something. So then I started to optimize the copy on the site and to evoke a response and to make sort of special offers. So people would opt into email lists and then I'd build a relationship with them by sending them really relevant content on a regular basis without hounding them, I guess. And what happened there was the lead time for the purchase decision for some people, because it was a fairly expensive in terms of, I guess, a luxury item, ski, coaching, holidays. You know, some people were 3 to 5 to 7 years before they actually came with us. And so through the internet and through internet marketing, I was able to use a sort of keep in touch strategy with them. So I was always point of mind. So when these people turned up, they felt like they knew me because they'd read so many stories and articles that I'd been providing them. And so that was one of the first areas where I started to hone my skills. And then when I left that business, I went on contract and worked for a large university down here in Melbourne and managed the content for, I think we had about 10,000 pages. It was a massive area and we had multiple contributors, and the user group was about 70,000 strong, students and teachers. So my role was to make things really simple and usable and readable in that. And so that's pretty much, I guess, where I kind of learnt my skills. The other thing was when I was running the ski business in the off seasons, I consulted out to some pretty big internet marketing website building companies back here in Australia. So I used to not build the sites, but I used to write the content for them, and that really taught me about what's the difference between having a website that sells and having a website that just kind of sits there and doesn't. So that was kind of the journey. And then more recently, I moved into coaching and business coaching and started working with small business clients. And naturally, one of the things we looked at, because it's such a key element now to people's marketing mix, is their website and how it's performing. And instantly I started seeing, you know, lots of the mistakes that I'd made over the years with my clients. So I just started working with their websites and helping them to then gain traffic and optimize that traffic and go from there. And after a while, I realized I really wasn't doing much business coaching at all. I was really just building websites and getting people traffic in and the phone to ring. So I kind of went, well, I'll go with what I know.
Yeah, so you could pretty much say so. Everything you've been saying, it sort of really sums up to it. It's really about how you can build relationship with your customers, and what you've found is the more content, the way you build the relationship with those customers is through your copy and what you're saying to them and how you're working with your internet. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. The key is just being really super relevant to the target market.
Yeah.
And then doing a good job online, and then they'll find you.
Great.
And ideally, then they'll see something in what you're offering, and then they'll want to take the next step, whether that be, you know, trade an email address for some information or pick up the phone and give you a call.
Fantastic. Well, are you ready for a few questions? Or
yeah, far away.
Firing away, because we've had a few questions that have been sent in, so...
Mm-hmm.
Starting from very simple questions to someone that might be a bit more complex, but whoever's listening to this, I'm sure there'll be something for everybody here.
Yep.
So some of the questions, like one of the simple, a really simple question is, I have a website, but the phone doesn't ring enough. How do I do it? Please help me.
Yeah, look, that's a great question, and that I guess that was my experience back with the ski business as well, and I get ask that question a lot. People kind of build a website and think that's it. And really building a website is step three in a six-step process. So if it's okay, I'll run through the six-step process because this will answer quite a lot of questions.
Right.
Because if you miss any one of the steps, your website won't get the phone to ring. It'll pretty much fail. So the first step is research. And by that, what we need to find is we need to find potential visitors to your website that have what we call buyer intent. So just for an image, you want someone sitting there typing away at the computer and they've got their credit card out.
Yep.
That's the kind of people we want to attract to the website. So that's we need to research and find where those buyer type people are. So there's a free tool that you can use to do this. You just go to Google and type in Google keyword tool.
Oh, great.
And Google will supply you with their own keyword tool. Funny about that, because Google's interested in everyone being successful online, because if everyone's successful online, they're even more successful. And in there, you can type in the keyword that you might be you can start to do some research on keywords, and you can also look at the level of competition for the keywords, and that will give you an indication as to the buyer.
Can you give me an example
intent
of what you mean by that?
Yeah, so let's say that we'll pick a standard thing. Let's say you're a Sydney plumber.
Yep.
Okay, and you're a Sydney plumbing business, and you service all areas of Sydney. You can go to the keyword tool and type in Sydney plumber or Sydney plumbers or Sydney plumbing, and you can have a look at the amount of monthly search volume that comes up each month, and you can start to see, you know, that's a pretty sort of standard term that you'd probably want to rank for, because if someone's typing in something to do with Sydney plumber, there's a pretty good chance that they're, you know, they're not writing a book. They've probably got some kind of plumbing problem. You know, and then there's other kind of, like, buyer traffic, which wouldn't have as high volume, but they'd be pretty motivated, and that could be someone typing in, you know, help with my leaky toilet,
yeah,
or drains are blocked, things like that. If you're ranking for those kind of keywords, they're people that have got probably a pretty immediate problem and are looking for a solution pretty fast. So you can start to get an idea of what the keywords are out there. The other way to do the keyword research is to have a look at what your competition is doing. So when you type in Sydney Plumber, you have a look at who is ranked number one, and then there are some analysis tools that you can use to find out where they get all their organic traffic from Google. And that tool's SEMrush. It's a paid tool. And then there's another tool, Market Samurai, which is also another paid tool, and that will give you quite a lot of research information as well, keyword.
Great. Peter, can I just ask you one question?
Yep.
We often hear all these words that IT people use in the internet. When you mention the word organic searches,
okay,
look,
yep,
what does that mean? I mean, I know,
yep,
organic vegetables I eat myself, but organic search engines, what's that?
Yeah. So the organic search results, when you type into Google Sydney Plumber, it'll come up on the page, and at the top there'll be a yellow box with AdWords ads, and they're pay-per-click ads, and so there'll be usually three at the top max of pay-per-click ads, and then after that you've got your rankings from, you've got your results, and it's in that area that is the non-paid area, that's what Google terms the organic search,
right,
results.
Okay, thank you for that. That clears up that one for us.
That's all right.
Okay.
And buyers generally give more weight to organic search results than the paid ad areas. So ultimately you want to be on the first page of Google, because that will generate your traffic strategy, which I'll talk about in a moment. And the way to get there is the keywords that you want to rank for through your research are keywords with buyer intent.
Great. Okay, so you're ready for the next question.
Well, yeah, look, I'll just, in terms of these elements, because what we want to do is we want to get traffic to this site,
mm-hmm,
but we also want them to phone the phone to ring, because it was,
that's
the
right,
phone doesn't ring enough. So it may be that they just haven't done the research. Okay, so they may be ranking for words that aren't buyer intent. The next thing that they need to take care of with the website is actually the content on the site. So the content needs to be, now content comes in four types. There's words, there's audio, there's video, and there's pictures. So once you've done the research, you want to build your content around the key words that you want to rank for with Google. So when you put your content together, you're writing for a human audience, but you're also seeding in these keywords in a way that Google will like your site, and I'll talk about that in a sec, just with the traffic component. So content's pretty straightforward. What content does, it brings your website to life, and it needs to be rich and engaging and seeded with the key buying keywords that you've got. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, cool. All right, now the next strategy is the website itself. So once you've got your research and your content, then you build your site. Now there are some site structures that Google loves to rank, and that's how, when Google loves to rank you, your rankings go up in the search engines, then you get better organic search results and you get more traffic and you get the buyer type traffic. So there are some websites Google loves to rank, and there are other sites that it's not as easy for them to crawl around and assess your site with. So when we build sites, we use the WordPress platform because Google just loves it, and it's easy for Google to review your site. And what basically Google does is it's constantly going around the web, looking at websites, called crawling, and it goes through your site and it has a look to see what your structure of your site is, what sort of content's there, how relevant it is, and what keywords that you're ranking for. And then that will help with your organic search engine results. So website's pretty straightforward. You have you find your buying keywords, build your content around that, and then put it together in a good looking, logical, easy to use website. You want your phone number in the top right hand corner. That'll improve response rates, and the less navigation, the better.
To make it really simple for the user to come to.
Yeah, just make it really simple. Give them what they want, and if you're ranking for a keyword and they come to that page, around 50% of your traffic will come to your homepage and the other 50% will come to pages within the site. Obviously, you want one focus per page. You want to rank for one keyword per page, and what that does is Google understands what you're on about, and when the customer comes, they'll understand what you're on about.
Right.
So don't try and do too many things at once.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Yep. And then from there, so you've got your research, you've got your content, you've built your site. Now the next stage is traffic. And traffic's a phone call in itself. So what there is with traffic is there is at least 24 legitimate traffic strategies that you can do to drive traffic to your website.
Okay, so let's give us the quick and short or the simpler version of it rather than...
We won't go into all 24, but we touched on organic search results. So that's so far, what we've done is we've set your website up so you've got your best chance of getting ranked with Google, because we've built the site, we've seeded in the keywords, and we've done that sort of work. What you'd also need to do to rank for those keywords is do some SEO, which is called search engine optimization. And what that does is you wouldn't do this yourself; you'd outsource it because you wouldn't want to do it. What that is that's like producing a lot of content and then putting it out into the web and linking back to your site on those specific pages, the keywords that you're looking to rank for each page. Does that make sense?
Yep, great.
So that when Google comes and looks at your site, it looks at each page, it looks at the keywords on the page, then it also looks at all the sites around the world that are linking back and if it's via the same keyword, all of a sudden Google goes, wow, these guys are really on their game. They're, it's very clear to me, Google, that they're a Sydney plumber because, there's Sydney plumbing all over the page in the correct spot. Plus look at all these links called backlinks that have Sydney plumber backlinking to that page. And so when you have an SEO strategy, when we work with clients, we usually start off with going to rank for about five keywords, and so there are five main areas that we'll try and rank for, five different types of buyer type keywords.
Is there any benefit of trying to rank for more, or is it better just to keep it small and simple?
Definitely, it's just to rank for five. There's a lot of work that happens in the background.
Right.
Just depends on your budget. We've got packages that go for more than that. Five's a good starting point. And when you are ranking for those five, what you can then do, because to build up this SEO, which is one of the 24 traffic strategies, once you've built it up, it's a ongoing monthly thing. So I've actually got an outsourced team. And they're just constantly writing articles. They're making blog posts on behalf of, my sites and my clients' sites. And they're just doing all these things in the background, all designed so when Google comes to the site, you rank well in the search engines. And then, so in terms of SEO covers it actually crosses... SEO, getting someone to do your SEO out of the 24 traffic strategies, it covers about 5 or 6. So
right.
straight away, you know, you're already there getting quite a few things. Some other things, just briefly, which I'll talk about them because they may come up later. Things like, you know, posting video on YouTube, getting affiliates to sell your product for you. That's a traffic source because they go out and do the marketing. They say, hey, David Zeldin's got this great training course. You know, click on this link and go to David's site and you know, buy the product. What else? Press releases, blog posts, Facebook, Twitter, goes on and on. Forums, you know, writing articles and posting them in places like EZN articles. Doing podcasts is really fun. I mean, what we're doing now, we could take this audio and put it to iTunes as a podcast under David Zeldner Cash Profits Coaching.
Okay,
and,
yep.
And that can be a traffic source as well.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, we'd transcribe this, right? So we'd pay someone to transcribe what we're talking about because we're producing quality content because it's new and fresh because Google really likes that kind of content. And we would take that and then publish that on your site, and also we can spin that and republish it throughout the web with the correct backlinks back to your site, depending on what you want to rank for.
So in saying what you're saying, so in other words, if you develop some content, whether
yep.
it be audio, visual, or transcribed,
yep.
it can be multi-purposed.
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah, that's one of the keys. That's our step 6, which is leverage everything that you do. I'll talk about that in a sec. So moving on from traffic, once you've got some good traffic coming to your site, you want to maximize your conversions. And,
yep.
and conversions meaning that if someone comes to your site, you want them not to just click the back button and disappear. You want them to, you know, pick up the phone or trade their email address for some, you know, really relevant information, or, you know, inquire about a quote, or, you know, do something. Give, you know, you want them to engage with you. At least like your page if you've got a, you know, a fan page, or like your site, or
right, yeah.
make a comment on your site, because the average Facebook user has 179 friends, and when they make a comment on your site, their 179 friends see it, and they may, because they're their friends, that they're probably, there's a percentage of their friends who would have maybe similar interests, and all of a sudden you're getting in front of people that have got similar interests.
Okay, so that's how that like button works.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so because there's Facebook fan pages, which you can like, and there's also, you can get people to comment and interact with you on your website, and when those comments, when they place, you know, comments via Facebook on your site, it also then you know, tells their friends. Either way, you're starting to spread virally when that starts to happen. And then the final step, step 6, we touched on it before, is leveraging everything you do online. So if you produce a video with really great content, you then take the audio from it and you can produce it and upload it to iTunes and other audio areas on the web. And you can take the, you know, and get the text transcribed and then produce that and syndicate that as well. And that's essentially what we're constantly doing for our clients.
Wow, a lot more involved than one, it's just a lot more involved than just putting up a site and just going, that's it, thank you very much. So
yeah, and that's what I did initially. You know, I thought, well, I just build a site. I think I paid $5,000 or something and
yeah.
you know, got it designed and you know, it was a good-looking site, and nothing. The crickets were chirping in the background. And
yeah.
Since then, things have become very sophisticated. Just to give you an indication, I'm working on someone who's a Sydney plumber, and they used to rank, you know, page one for quite a few keyword terms, and they didn't really utilize the web because they're doing a pretty good job offline.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some competitors who are highly organized have moved in and they now have sites with, one of them has, I think, 278 pages, and they've got, I think, 17 page one rankings for, like, the really key buying keyword terms, and they're looking at, I think they get over 4,500 visitors to their website each month.
Well, wow, that's pretty good going.
Yeah, whereas, you know, the person that I'm in talks with, they were getting some traffic, but now they're getting next to nothing, you know, hundreds versus thousands. And you just have to ask yourself, how long can you afford to be in business and pretty much allowing your competitors to have that kind of a free run at all those online inquiries? Because there is potentially, there's a ton of traffic out there searching. You know, the Yellow Pages is shrinking every year, and there's a reason for that. I can't even think of the last time I picked up the Yellow Pages to try and find anyone, any business.
No, I don't think I've used Yellow Pages for years.
Yep. So it's a long answer, and it was a simple kind of question, but it really does come to the core of what we're about.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Peter. That was great. Short answer. So don't expect short answers, anybody, but at least you're going to get a lot of information. So maybe we'll move on to another question here,
yep.
Peter, if that's okay with you.
Yep. I'll keep it short where I can.
Okay. So here's a question that we've got is, should I build out my current website or build smaller multiple sites?
Yeah, really good question. The short answer is build out your current site.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Google loves what we call an authority site. So building out your site, now there are a couple of ways to build out your site. You can keep building pages, or you can place a blog on your website as well. And a blog is just a weblog where you can post, you know, articles that are interesting. Every time you post an article, Google rates that as a page.
Okay.
Yep. So with my blog, AskStoney.com, every blog post is designed to rank for one keyword.
Right.
Right. And also, the main focus is to put really relevant and great content on there. So I attract readers to the site, and as a bonus, you know, Google's going to love it as well. So the idea is to build out your site. What we mean by, like, smaller multiple sites, let's say you had like a Sydney plumbing company, you might also own the domain name for Bondi Plumbing and all those other kind of smaller domains.
Yep.
And so there has been a strategy where you build like small little satellite sites and you link back to your main site.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a mature strategy once you've already got your authority site. So you'd really want your main site to be ranking for a lot of page one results before you looked at building out micro sites to link back
right.
to your main site. So build the mothership.
Build the mothership first.
Yeah.
And then look to go further.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you could. It's certainly a strategy, the micro site strategy. And the reason for that is you start to own the traffic. Basically, all the traffic in the terms of the Google organic keywords gets absorbed from the first page. So if you're on page two, you're getting very little traffic.
Right.
You really need to be on page one. So what happens is you build your authority site up and you rank for, you know, one or two or three positions on page one. And then as a secondary strategy, you can build up your micro sites and they could be ranking in position 6, 7, 9, and 10. And all of a sudden when someone comes to the, you know, types in that keyword term, you've got 5, 6, 7, 8 chances that they're going to click on your sites as opposed to your competition.
Mm.
So that's how that works.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. That's great. Okay. There's another question that came in, but it may be a simple one, but
mm-hmm.
I don't have a website yet. What are the key things I need to do to get started?
Wow. The key things to get started if you don't have a website.
Yep. So like a new person starting a business up,
Yeah.
They know they've got to do a website, but
yeah.
they go, they're running around going, and they're hearing all this information from all sorts of people. They don't know which way to go.
Yeah.
So can you give us some just some really simple advice what that person should do or what they need to do to get started?
Yeah. Well, it's going to come down to how much time have they got to do things themselves versus outsourcing it.
Yeah.
Like the simple answer is to find someone that's going to look after all the six steps, the first six steps that we talked about.
Yep.
Because, you know, that's what's required. So, I mean, if you're starting out with a website, your first step is to research. Your second step is then to get all the content together. The third step is to build a site. You can do that yourself if you've got time. I don't know if you'd really want to do that.
Most people don't want to do that. No.
Especially if you're a business owner, because usually business owners, their best time and energy is spent, you know, working with their clients rather than building websites and stuff. So, and then after that, you need a traffic strategy, and then you need to make sure that the pages are converting, and if they're not, they need to be tweaked, you know, tested and retweaked so that they are. And then everything needs to be leveraged. So the bottom line is, you can build a website yourself, WordPress.com, but then you're looking at, you'll need a host, which HostGator is a pretty good and cheap option. So HostGator, WordPress site, good luck. Or you can, you can get someone, to help you with that. So there are the two options. You can either do it yourself or you can get someone to do it for you.
Thank you for that. Look, from my experience, any clients that I've ever had that have built their own sites, unless they're web developers or web builders,
yeah.
I really wouldn't recommend it myself because, as Peter said, just do what your expertise is and leave the expertise to someone that actually knows what they're doing. So that's good information, good advice there.
I guess the other thing too is on my website I offer a free report which is for busy business owners to and there's some resources and links there as to what they can do. So you can grab that at askstoney.com. So that could be another resource. I kind of wrote that because, you know, you do get asked that question a lot and you go, well, you can do it. And after about 10 minutes, you know, business owners' eyes start to glaze over. And that's even before you talk into the intricacies of, you know, SEO and backlinking and all the rest of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, thanks for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got another question here.
Yep.
How can I make social media work for me? Now, this is a big one because social media, everyone's hearing about social media, Facebook and all that stuff.
Yep.
And business owners, and I've got business people that I'm talking to all the time that
yep.
are saying to me, I know I've got to do something with that. I'm not even interested in Facebook. My daughter uses it.
Yep.
The kids use it, but they don't understand the implications of how powerful
sure.
it can be.
Yeah.
So do you want to just say, I know you could probably speak about this for 3 hours, but
probably
let's
someone.
Give us the
yep.
short version.
Yeah, well, I mean, 500 million users on Facebook. And social media, your big four are Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
The second biggest search engine in the world after Google is now YouTube.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. Funny how Google purchased them. They're not silly, are they?
No.
Okay. So the first thing, if you're a business owner and you're listening to this, and this is how I've got my hat on in answering your question. Even if you're not interested in getting into the social media, the first thing you need to do is you need to register your real estate. So you need to go to YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and the other one. I can't remember. And just reserve your company name or your name if it's not already taken.
Yeah.
Because there will be a stage where you may want to do something and you don't want it to not be there.
Mm-hmm. So register your
LinkedIn as well.
LinkedIn, yeah.
Yep.
So register yourself on all the social media sites, yeah?
Yep.
And next step?
Well, the next step, we'll just talk about, I mean, LinkedIn's pretty straightforward. Yep. You know, that's people on LinkedIn are there because they want to be there and they're interested in doing business, and you can, the way to use LinkedIn is to join groups that are of the same interest to you and just start up conversations with people, and then you're just looking to take it to the next level. So from a conversation, or you make a few comments, or someone might ask some questions in the kind of forum type environment, and you just give great content. You just answer away, and after a while, people go, "Hey, I'm going to be in Melbourne, you know, next week. Do you want to catch up for a coffee?" And sure. And then all of a sudden, that's kind of LinkedIn.
Yep.
The other key to all of this is you really want to just dedicate a certain amount of time for social media and leave it. I'm about 10 to 15 minutes in the morning and 10 to 15 minutes at night. That's it. And I don't go back there. There's no need. I just go in, have a look at what questions are being asked, answer them, or pose some questions myself, and then get out. So with Facebook, what you'd be looking to do is, as a business, you'd want to build a Facebook fan page, because that's separate to your personal Facebook account.
Yeah.
That's easy to set up, but you need a personal Facebook account first to set that up. So, you, David, you're on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have you got Cash Business, Cash Focus, what is it?
Cash Profit Coaching? No,
yeah.
I haven't got it up there.
Okay. So for you, it would just be a matter of going to your normal Facebook account, and then you just have to Google how you do this, and there's Facebook help. But you go in, I'm not a Facebook expert, but I do know how to use it rather than set it up. I get my team to set these things up. But basically, you can create a fan page in there, and then once you've got 25 likes, you can then grab your vanity URL. So you can create the page. Get 25 of your friends to like it, or you can pay to get likes. That's not that hard. And then you could have Cash Profits Coaching. So it could be Facebook/ Cash Profits Coaching.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Right. And then on your website, you would start to integrate your Facebook fan page with your website. So, do you run a blog on your site?
No, not at this point.
Okay. So one of the best ways of doing it is, and there's an opportunity for you, because you write newsletters
constantly.
Yeah. So what you can do is you can repurpose your newsletter. Okay, and so, it's, you know, the newsletter that you send out to your list, you can also put that up as a blog post on your website. And so now you're building your site out, and Google likes to see a growing site. And then there's you're on the WordPress platform, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's easy plugins, and so then what you would do is you would build in comments, so people can comment on the site, and you also put in the plugin for Facebook comments. And so the idea there is that when someone goes to your site, they will you know, make some comments, and then your site will suddenly start to be seen by all their friends.
Okay, so that's right. How the social media works.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. And then with your Facebook fan page, you would want to start putting some relevant content onto that. So your blog posts, you could repurpose those, send some snippets out onto that, and that's a way of attracting traffic to there, and then driving back. And then if you want, you can use, you know, some advertising strategies and set aside a budget of, you know, $50 a week or $50 a day or something, and you can drive traffic to your Facebook fan page, and then they can find your website, and then they, you know, if they like what they see, because you're relevant, because you're advertising for the specific type of buyers that you're targeting, you know, that they may move through your product, through your sales cycle.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Peter. Look, that actually leads into another question that's sitting here on this list that came into me.
Yeah.
The next question is it worth running an AdWord campaign?
Can be. Yeah, it can be. Definitely. There are some companies that spend, seven figures on AdWords. I'm not suggesting most of I guess your business owner listeners wouldn't have access to that kind of budget. But what happens is when you're running like an SEO strategy, it usually takes 2 to 3 months before you start to get some good results and some traffic coming to your website. And that doesn't mean that you're going to rank for the absolute hot number one keyword. You may need to pick some other keywords because it's just so competitive, it's going to take a lot longer to get those going. So in the interim, you can supplement by running an AdWords campaign, which is it's those small ads in and around the organic search results on Google.
Okay, yep. And what's the general cost of to do that?
If
you just want to get started and do it, sort of.
Yeah, well, you put in your cost per click. It's an absolute science. I actually outsource all of this because it's egg-heady, spreadsheet crunching, all that kind of thing. I understand theory and the outcome for my clients. I don't get too embroiled in the nitty-gritty. But because what happens is, and here's a tip that you need to know, when you set up your own, you can set up your own AdWords campaign, Google will say, well, this is what it costs for cost per click. So let's say you're a Sydney plumber and it goes, if you want to be on page one for Sydney plumbing, it's going to cost you $8.50 per click.
Right.
But you don't have to put in $8.50.
Yeah.
You can bid, $2.
Yeah.
And you might get some traffic, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't necessarily. So the main thing is don't bid what they suggest, and then you just test and measure and see what your results are. And with Google Analytics installed on your website, that's a free tool from Google, you can see, where your traffic's coming from and how long they're staying on the site and what pages are they visiting and so on and so on. The other thing about AdWords, Facebook is another area. It's actually easier to advertise on Facebook than Google AdWords. And so Facebook's an area, and you can really be quite specific with Facebook advertising because people put in a lot of demographic information.
Right.
So let's say that you're a Sydney plumber, David.
Yep.
And your business is based in I was going to say Brighton. That's right. Based in where's the Sydney?
I'll just say Lane Cove.
Yeah, Lane Cove. So what you can do is you could specifically run ads for people in Lane Cove.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so it's only going to come up in Lane Cove. So you could maybe have, let's say that you've got a free, drain assessment thing.
Yep.
And because often what happens is when people realise that their drains are stuffed, then they end up placing them all and it ends up being a really big job. So I know that, having done the research, I know the keywords for drain, block drains and drains is really quite high. So yeah, you could run a Facebook ad that comes up, for people in Lane Cove, and you could target people aged between 55 and 65.
That's getting pretty targeted, isn't it?
It's pretty specific. Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal what you can do, and remembering there's 500 million users online. So it really is happening. Now, the other thing is that the second largest take-up of Facebook is the baby boomers.
Right, yeah.
So they're all just getting on now and reconnecting with their school friends, and they've got time on their hands, and, they've got their laptops and their Wi-Fi and whatever. So it really is an opportunity. But again, Facebook will ask for you to bid certain amounts. You can get away with a lot less than what they're asking for. They'll suggest, it's $2 per click, and you can usually get away with 20 cents.
Okay, so in what you're saying, you're suggesting to start with probably go more to promoting through Facebook rather than doing Google AdWords at this point?
It depends. It's a case by case.
Yeah, case by case.
It is easier to advertise on Facebook at the moment because Google's been around for so long that they're pretty. They slap you pretty hard if you don't follow the rules. Make sure you read the terms and conditions. It's really long.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be, you know, using these things, see, there's no recourse when you're dealing with a Google or a Facebook.
Yeah.
And so you need to follow their rules or they will shut your account down.
Yeah.
And then you're screwed. The other thing too is a quick tip with social media. There are people out there that are teaching people how to build your whole business on Facebook and they're doing really well. They are pulling big money. Just be really aware that you don't own anything on Facebook and you don't and so on your social media platform you need to have a strategy to get them off into your database.
Right. Okay, yes.
Because there are literally Facebook pages and Facebook fan pages that Facebook has the right to take your fan page off you and run it themselves. So by all means, use social media, but you want to make sure that you're controlling the situation.
So ultimately what you're saying is and this is what I often talk about to people, is they want to be able to drive the traffic from Facebook back to their own site enroll them into something where someone signs up for a free report or some newsletter or something like that, where at least you've at least got their data and their details.
That's right.
If Facebook does pull the site or do something different or change the rules, haven't lost them.
That's right. And so the key thing here is you want to own the race course and not the horse.
Yep, got it. Okay, Peter, look, we're sort of coming close to the end, and there's a couple more questions here, so I'd like to sort of just to go a couple of quick
rapid
short
fire.
Ones really quick. A lot of it you've answered anyway.
Yep.
So a couple of questions was how do I build a list from my site?
Yep.
And then the next question was how do I put the email list to work for me? So that's
yep.
two, answer those two questions in a handful of words.
Yep. To build a list from your site, offer a free report.
Great. Okay.
That's relevant.
Yep.
And make sure the free report's decent.
Yep.
If you're not good at writing, you can outsource that.
Yep.
Go to elance.com or odesk.com.
Okay. Yep.
Zip. I'll zip. And Alan, the next one, how do you put your email list to work for you?
Yep.
Once you've built your list, you obviously want to protect that list because it's there's two types of lists you build from your email list. One is a list of buyers who have bought something from you and one a list of prospects.
Yep.
Now, your buyer list you obviously want to protect because it's absolute gold and your prospect list as well. So, I never rent or trade or sell my list to anyone else. I don't see the point in it. So just engage with them on a basis that they're comfortable with. I reckon less than a month, every sort of 5 to 6 weeks, send them out some good quality content and work on a three or four to one ratio. So three or four really valuable things and one offer.
Yep.
And you'll have pretty good, you won't have that many opt-outs if you kind of run that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great. And another question which you just touched on a little bit is if all this information you've been sharing with us over the last 45 minutes, how could I outsource all of this?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are companies out there that will look after certain elements. There are website companies, there are SEO companies, there are specialist Facebook companies. There are quite a lot of, I guess, consultants out there that can help as well. So it's a matter of, I guess, speaking to your network,
doing the due diligence and doing some serious research.
Yeah, and, obviously that's the business that we're in. You can find out about us at askstoney.com. But the main thing is, you can, if through your network, you can speak speak to your friends and colleagues and family. The main thing is to avoid having your 16-year-old cousin build your website.
Yep.
Or, you know, I'd steer clear of graphic designers. I'd steer clear of anyone that talks about brand a lot.
Yep.
Like if you go to their website and they just talk about where the brand and they've got all these great images and they keep talking, they're banging on about brand and brand. And we built, the idea is you want some websites that sell. So, you know, your brand will build it as a result, but it's not the focus. The focus is make sure that you find someone that understands research, understands content, understands website structure, usability, and then obviously you need traffic, and then you need that traffic to convert, and then leverage all your activities, and you can't really go wrong.
Great. Now, we've only got a few minutes, so look, if there's anyone out there that's got a burning question that you'd like to ask Peter, just hit *6 and unmute your phone and ask the question. If not, I've got one or two more questions and then we'll call it a wrap. So is there anyone out there that wants to ask a question? Go for it now. We have no callers. We have no takers on that one.
I may have bamboozled them all already.
They might be all bamboozled with so much information already. So look, what I'll do is we'll give it a wrap at the moment. So
yep.
What I'd like to do is say thank you, Peter, for all your information and your time. And I'd just like to ask you, what's the one takeaway that all our listeners can walk away with that you'd like to leave them with?
Yeah, great question. So we're talking about having a website and being successful online.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it doesn't happen by chance. You know,
right.
It needs to be a planned, thought through, structured process. I mean, every paragraph needs, you know, there needs to be a purpose for every word, every paragraph, every logo, every image, absolutely everything. There needs to be a purpose and an outcome, and the outcome is to attract people who have buyer intent.
Great. All right. Well, look, thank you, for Peter. Thank you heaps for all your words of wisdom and your expertise. Thank you all for joining us. If you haven't already visited my site, go to cashprofitcoaching.com.au and you can pick up a free report, the free 10-day mini course, 9 remarkable ways to increase your business profits, and put more cash in your back pocket. There you go.
Brilliant.
And look, I just want to wish you all a prosperous and an amazing life. So take care. All the best.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Peter. Bye.